Thank you for joining Minot Today. I'm your host, Bob Tim, and my guest today is Mayor Sean Sipma. Sean, say good morning.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Glad to be here.
Sean, we can fill hours of time, and you and I have at times. So I'm going to direct us towards one direction. There is so many items that people want to talk about, and I think a lot of those items fall under the National Disaster Resiliency Program.
Mm-hmm. The HUD grant that we received in 2016 and really stood up in 2017 or started down that path was a little more than $74 million. The one component that we have to keep in mind each and every time is this HUD grant was for specific activities. Part of that was the gathering space, which has garnered quite a bit of notoriety, I guess, over the last few months, if not more than a year now. Part of that is also acquisitions within the floodplain, and we've been able to use that for part of the acquisitions for our flood control project, that footprint, which is exceptionally important. And then we do have low to moderate income housing program pieces that we have already got at least one major one complete and more in the works, and then a litany of other smaller components. City Hall moving again and others. But the main piece that people really have to remember and take hold of is this money can only be used for those programs and cannot be used for anything else. Otherwise, we have to pay it back.
And like you said, these are all components. So while certain components come under a lot of fire, they're all necessary. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, if we didn't receive this
$74 million.
If we didn't receive this $74 million, then homes like mine that are in the floodplain would not end up being protected. Mm-hmm. And that is what the city is mostly concerned about, is the flood control. But we gave HUD our word we would jump through their hoops to get this done.
And there's a lot of hoops. And the easy way to look at this, we can't use any of the $74 million for actual flood construction. We can't use it to build walls. We cannot use it to put up dikes. However, we can use it in the acquisition of some of those homes, which then does free up dollars for us that we do have to generate 35% of that total cost locally for flood control to then put those towards walls, to put those towards the earthen levees. So in a way, it's kind of that tertiary effect. It does give us leverage to be able to work on that process, maybe a little more fiscally responsible, if you want to look at it that way. In the sense where we've had some folks that, you know, maybe look at things in a negative light when it comes to either the gathering space or LMI housing. And a few people have even said, give it back. And I can't think of a more short-sighted kind of purview to that, where this money was only awarded to 13 different communities. And I say communities because New York City, Boston were some of those. We were the smallest by far. If we give the money back, HUD is immediately going to funnel that to one of the other 12, and they're going to use it for a betterment of their own community. So whether this gathering space comes to fruition and gets built, or whether that money ends up being put into another one of the approved activities, remains to be seen. But at the end of this, we have to have all of those program dollars finished and spent by September 30th of 2022.
And that's coming quickly.
We have short construction season, so we have to take advantage, as they say, make hay when the sun shines.
We do. And Sean, I just see this whole thing as very positive. There are components that aren't very popular, but we gave our word. And I realize that that doesn't mean anything to some people out there. But to me and to most people who listen to K-Heart, mm-hmm. it does mean something to give your word.
At the end of the day, the word is our bond. And I think that holds true to, I would say, and hope most people. The activities that we are looking at within the NDR program are meant to better our community. And they will better our community when they do come to fruition. Doing them right will also improve in some aspects the capabilities of our community. For instance, we are looking at moving City Hall before September 30th of 2022. Why do we need to move City Hall? There's two real components. The first and foremost, City Hall is so out of space and has been for such a long time. Our copier now sits out in a hallway. We have filing cabinets lining hallways because what used to be filing rooms when City Hall was last remodeled in the 90s and before that into the 70s, we didn't have things like IT. We didn't have human resource departments, a department that had more than one person. Finance department was much smaller. We've grown as a community, and our city hall has reached beyond its limits. So moving city hall downtown, if we were able to find a building and being able to, and that's another catch, we have to move into an existing building downtown, which is meant to help economically revitalize part of our downtown, and also putting employees downtown helps create more economic vitality of a business district. And that was identified as an important component within HUD. So it does achieve quite a few different aspects.
Sean, let's go to the gathering space for a moment here. I'm teeter sometimes of what I prefer, but how stringent is HUD? Let's say that we just can't find any willing sellers. Will the city have to force eminent domain on somebody?
And that's a really good question, Bob, because that is absolutely one thing we cannot do under these HUD guidelines, because the resiliency aspect of the National Disaster Resiliency, we cannot use any of these funds for any eminent domain activities. We have to follow the parameters of 2 acres or near 2 acres. It does have to fall within the federal requirements for reasonable acquisition, meaning we can't pay an absorbent amount of money. It does have to fall within the parameters that are defined by the federal guidelines. So if we can't find those components and a few other, you know, environmental components within the backgrounding of the property itself, if we can't find that, we have 2 options. We can either ask HUD to move those dollars into other approved activities, which they would not have a problem doing whatsoever. If we asked that today, they would do it. We could also go back and ask for a substantial amendment, asking to change the parameters of what we initially said the gathering space would look like, maybe from 2 acres down to 1 acre or some other component. That takes anywhere from 12 to 16 months. As we just said, the clock is ticking. I don't know if we have 12 to 16 months. That would be if they approve that as well. Most people with the gathering space look at it as just another park. And all it takes is a moment to look at other communities that have a gathering space. And that's exactly what it's meant to be, a gathering space in a downtown business district or in a business district itself, where they hold festivals, where they hold activities that bring people together. Economically, it is substantially better for the community, because it does create more of a unique identity for that business district. It also creates more economic activity for the community as a whole and fosters more of that live, work, and play mentality for the community.
I recently made a trip down to the San Antonio, Texas area to see my daughter graduate from basic training. And I don't know if you've been down there, Sean.
Where I have not, unfortunately.
They have a really great gathering space downtown right in front of the Alamo. And the Riverwalk is right there, too. And It really is neat, and it does draw a lot of people to that area. It's a real plus for merchants in that area. It's a real plus for the community to have this space where they can have special events and so forth. So I see that as a positive aspect too. As far as the city hall, it seems to me that there are maybe several opportunities downtown here. As people may know, my office is right downtown, kitty corner from the Gourmet Chef and across from the old Wells Fargo building. I could see that as a possibility. Mm-hmm. But again, time is of the essence. It doesn't have to be completed by 2002. Is that correct?
2022. We would have to have the components of the money allocated for City Hall spent. And then the project itself in that capacity for City Hall in that sense would not. So we do have a little bit of leverage there, but we do have to find a facility that has enough space to meet our current needs and the potential to expand for future needs, because we don't want to find ourselves in the exact same spot in 10 years if we grow substantially. We don't know what the future holds, and find ourselves out of space in a building that has no room for expansion.
And again, you did say it needs to be an existing structure.
That is correct.
Yeah, and not every existing structure, even if it had enough space, would work real well because it would take extensive remodeling, taking the hospital as an example.
Mm-hmm. And that's another aspect that we've looked at. Unfortunately, the health buildings that Trinity Health is going to be vacating when they move to their new campus in Southwest Minot, that time frame is outside of September 30th of 2022. So unfortunately, all of our NDR programs are going to have to be wrapped before Trinity even moves. So we're really not even at this point real optimistic about being able to use those NDR grant dollars for any of that, with maybe one exception. One of the programs within the NDR program is also standing up a career and technical training center in some capacity. And we're working with Minot State University and MSU Botanal, looking at which training employment activities are the most in demand in North Dakota. So if we can stand this up and train people for the jobs that are in the most demand right now in North Dakota, we can turn it into a very, productive piece of education and training right here in Minot that can supplement a lot of businesses in North Dakota for trained individuals.
I can see that, especially when it comes to oil field related jobs such as welding and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, between the technical aspects, it can be anything from oil field related. You look at the healthcare needs that have a technical training component to them. There's a lot in demand out there, and it could be very valuable.
Absolutely. We're already running short on time, but you said something that really got me thinking, is that when you make this purchase, it's got to be within reason, going back to the gathering space.
Mm-hmm.
So I have no idea why the first location fell apart. I know that you had several cooperative landowners, and maybe, I don't know, I've never heard whether you had uncooperative ones, but when you say we can't be gouged on price, was that a reason why things fell apart?
There really came down to a couple of components, despite what price was for a lot of. There were, at the end, a couple of them that just didn't want to sell. So in that regard, we couldn't get close to 2 acres. So at that moment, when we couldn't get close to 2 acres, really the point was moot of what other folks were asking. It is unfortunate. I think a lot of people were excited about that location. We're working now on Site 1 and 3, Site 1 being the big parking lot that Trinity owns right along Broadway. Trinity did send a letter that they were not interested at this time. We have to ask what at this time means, if that means in 6 months or a year or 3 years. And if that's not the case, then we do, under the guidelines of what we agreed to with HUD, have to move to Site 3, which is kind of in that area right over just to the south of Ebenezer's, that big kind of triangle square lot that was identified. I have no idea whether or not that property owner is willing to sell. However, we do have to go through the process to find out.
And the reason I brought that up, Sean, is because, you know, you hear the tired old saying about the Good Boys Network, and people have this false idea in their heads that, okay, somebody inside knew where the city wanted to build this, so they bought the land for nothing, and now they want to sell it for $10 million. So that's why I brought it up, is that kind of thing has not happened.
No, it has not happened. If you look around downtown Minot right now, I am so optimistic. There is so much vitality. There's so much excitement going on, and I would really hate misconception, because that's really what it was. It was nothing more than conjecture in that regard. There are a lot of business people that are really stepping up in the community and are trying their best to make our community as best as it can be for the quality of life. And I applaud everyone, small business owner to big business owner, whoever it is that's stepping forward. At the end of the day, we are all in this together.
That's right. Sean, we're out of time, and I just want to encourage you to keep up the good work.
Thank you so much for having me.